Sarasvati Vajracharya, Asa Sarasvati Sri Srimani Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sri Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopinath, Shamakund, Radhikund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Srimati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai, Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam. We're on the second canto. We're on the 10th chapter, which is entitled Bhagavatam is the answer to all the questions. We're on text number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Satojayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. Text number 7. The quality that we're hearing about today in the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam is Ashraya Krishna. So, Abhashascha Nirodhascha. Yatostyadyavashishate Sad Ashraya Param Brahma Paramatmeti Shabjate Abhashascha Nirodhascha Yatostyadyavashishate Sadashraya Param Brahma Paramatmeti Shabjate Abhasascha Nirodhascha Yatostyadya Vasishyate Sadashraya Param Brahma Paramatmeti Shabjate. Please chant. Abhasascha Nirodhascha. Yatostyadya Vasishyate. Saashraya Param Brahma. Paramatmeti Shabjate. Abhasascha Nirodhascha Yostavya Vashiyate Sarashaya Param Brahma Paramatmeti Sabdate. Abhasascha Nirodhascha. Yatosya Vyavashijate. Sadashraya Param Brahma. Paramatmeti Shabdate. Abhasha, the cosmic manifestation. Cha, and Nirodha, and its winding up. Cha, also, Yata, from the source. Asti, is. Avyavashishate, become manifest. Saha, he, Ashraya, reservoir. Param, the supreme. Brahma, being. Paramatma, the super soul. Iti, thus. Shabdate, called. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme One, who is celebrated as the Supreme Being or the Supreme Soul, is the supreme source of the cosmic manifestation, as well as its reservoir and winding up. Thus, he is the supreme fountainhead, the absolute truth. How many supremes are there? Quite a few. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And it all means Krishna. Okay, translation one more time. The Supreme One, this is the ashraya, this is the ultimate topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Supreme One, who is celebrated as the Supreme Being or the Supreme Soul, is the supreme source of the cosmic manifestation, as well as its reservoir and winding up. Thus, he is the supreme fountainhead, the absolute truth. Oma jena timirandasya jananjana salakaya chaksu umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Thus, I am indebted to him life after life and beg for service continually at his lotus feet. Hare Krishna. So, just as a reminder, our first verse which of this chapter, the chapter 10, which is describing all of the 10 subjects of the Bhagavatam. I'm just going to read that and then go into the purport. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 10 divisions of statements regarding the following. The creation of the universe, sub-creation, planetary systems, protection by the Lord, the creative infinite, the change of manus, the science of God, returning home back to Godhead, liberation, and the summum bonum. So that's what's being described here in this verse and the purport. Actually, the acharyas say, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, there's only one subject in the Bhagavatam, and that is Krishna as the supreme. But these other 9 divisions or other topics are giving us information so that when we hear about the supreme or the ashraya or the shelter of everything, that we have enough information and faith and love to take shelter of that person. Okay, Srila Prabhupada's purport, it's yet another very philosophically dense purport. Translation means it's a little hard to follow. Okay, so here we go. Synonyms for the supreme source of all energies, as explained at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, are janmadyasyatyataha. Another one, vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvam yadgyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabyate. In other words, called parambrahma, paramatma, or bhagavan. The word iti is used here in this verse, completes the symptom, and thus indicates Bhagavan. This will be further explained in later verses, but this Bhagavan ultimately means Lord Krishna. Because Srimad Bhagavatam has already accepted the personality of Godhead as Krishna. And so throughout this purport, Srila Prabhupada is going to quote various parts of the Bhagavatam where it's confirmed that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's confirmed in various ways also. Just like the very first verse of the Bhagavatam, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The very first words of the Bhagavatam are offering obeisances unto Vasudev. And Srila Prabhupada makes a very pointed description that Vasudev is Krishna. So we are offering obeisances right from the very beginning of Bhagavatam. It starts off that we're offering obeisances that Krishna is the supreme worshipable object and the shelter of all these other topics and philosophies and everything. So Prabhupada just said that this is confirmed in the Bhagavatam. Krishna is accepted as the personality of Godhead. Now he's going to quote from third chapter, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. The original source of all energy, or the summum bonum, is the absolute truth, which is called Parabrahman, Parambrahma, etc. And Bhagavan is the last word of the absolute truth. So, in other words, there are different philosophies or paths explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, ultimately leading one and pointing one to Krishna's lotus feet. But because the living entities are in all different states of consciousness and all different levels of progress, and some of them are still not even trying to make progress, but anyway, there's all different levels of instructions for people in the Bhagavatam and in the Vedic literature in general, so that people can take up a process that a bona fide process that's attractive to them and make progress gradually, to come to understand that Krishna is the summum bonum, the supreme, the shelter for everything. Okay, continuing. But even with the synonyms for Bhagavan, such as Narayan, Vishnu, and Purusha, the last word is Krishna, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, matat sarvam pravartate, etc. Krishna is saying, I'm the source of everything. From me comes everything. All knowledge comes from me. And all forgetfulness too. Some of us take shelter of that a little as later on in stages of life and think, oh yeah, Hare Krishna. Anyway, all knowledge, all forgetfulness comes from Krishna. Everything. Okay, besides that, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the representation of Lord Krishna as the sound incarnation of the Lord. That's very, very important. Because, I'll read this. Krishna svadhamapagate dharma jnana dibhisvaha kalau nastadrisham esha puranarko dunodita. That's the third chapter of the Bhagavatam. That Krishna has incarnated in the form, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam, is the form of the book. Krishna's there. And this is how we can access Krishna, even if we're not particularly, or we're not specifically totally self-realized at this time. We can access the information in this literature, and that is accessing Krishna. As long as we hear from the right source, hearing from the pure devotees and those devotees in the line and the disciplic succession, which culminates in this conclusion that Krishna is the source of everything and that we should offer all our activities and our worship and our homage to him, then even in our fallen condition, that we still have that access to him. Prabhupada's quoting right from the beginning of the Bhagavatam here, and this is the whole setup of Srimad Bhagavatam. The questions by the sages in the first and second chapter of the Bhagavatam, when they're asking of Sukadeva or Suta Goswami, they're asking him, they ask six questions. Those very questions are ultimately pointing to Krishna. The very first question they're asking, the sages asking, can you remember the very first question that the sages asked in chapter 3? What's the ultimate good? Can you tell us what? Because there's this assembly of sages who have taken to various processes of self-realization. They're not all just bhakti yogis at that particular point. You know, some of them have taken to the process of gyan, some of them have taken to the process of Astanga yoga, etc., etc. Some of them think that impersonal Brahman is the supreme. So they're asking, what's the ultimate good? There's so many different philosophies. What's the ultimate good for people in general? And the second question they ask is, can you just give us a synthesis of the various scriptures? What's the essence of all the scriptures? Because it appears that the different scriptures are giving different conclusions. And it's not so much that they're giving different conclusions, but they're giving different levels of understanding according to a person's willingness and ability to understand and level of consciousness. So the different processes of self-realization are, bona fide processes, are valid, but they're incomplete unless they come to the point, or until they come to the point, or until the practitioner comes to the point of taking shelter and realizing that Krishna is the supreme summum bonum of everything. He's the source of everything. So so the answer, what's the ultimate good? What's the ultimate good for people in general, and what's the essence of the scriptures? It's Srimad Bhagavatam. It's bhakti. It's the same answer. You know, the same answer to both questions. Bhakti is the ultimate good for people in general. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate good for people in general, because it brings one gradually to the highest stage of level. And this is why Prabhupada says supreme so many times here in this translation to the verse, because it is the highest level. There are other levels, bona fide levels, but to get to the supreme shelter, one has to reach to Krishna's lotus feet. So the other questions that the sages ask is, they are again all focused on Krishna. Why Krishna's taken birth from Vasudeva? What was his purpose for taking birth from Devaki and Vasudeva? Then they're asking about the different avatars and incarnations and what their functions are, and etc. So they're asking all of these questions, but they're all focused on Krishna, to bring us to Krishna's lotus feet. So continuing on in the purport, yes. Thus, by general conclusion, Lord Krishna is the ultimate source of all energies, and the word Krishna means just that. And to explain Krishna, or the science of Krishna, the Srimad Bhagavatam has been prepared. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this truth is indicated in the questions and answers by Sutta Goswami and the great sages like Shonaka, in the first and second chapters of the canto. And in the first and second chapters of this canto, this is explained. Then Prabhupada, now he's going to list all the different places in the Bhagavatam where this is going also to be explained. In the third chapter, this subject is more explicit. So can anyone recall why Prabhupada's saying the third chapter is more explicitly explaining that Krishna is the source of everything? Remember the verse? Ate. And the rest? Ate chamsa kalapum sam Krishna stu bhagavan swayam Indrari vakulam lokam ridayante yuge yuge. So the reason Sukadeva or Sutta, I don't know, one of them, has just explained all the different incarnations of the Lord and their a brief description of their activities. But now he's clarifying, but Krishna is the supreme source of them all. Just in case you missed that point, just in case you thought that Krishna comes from Vishnu. It might appear like that initially, but he's actually the source of everything and everyone. He's the source of Vishnu. Prabhupada said that earlier when he said different synonyms for the names like Narayan and Vasudeva, etc. Okay, In the third chapter, this subject is more explicit. And the fourth chapter, even more explicit. Now the fourth chapter, that begins the story of Vyasadeva's feeling unsatisfied with, after having compiled all the Vedic literature, he's feeling a little unsatisfied, not a little, but a lot unsatisfied. And he's wondering, I just did all this work, why aren't I feeling fulfilled? And by self-analyzation and by the confirmation of Narada, who appears, Prabhupada says he very kindly appears in that chapter, Narada explains to Vyasadeva, you're feeling dissatisfied because you didn't glorify enough, specifically, the Supreme Personality of God and the process of Bhakti Yoga. And that's a hint for all of us, too, because as we all know, since none of us were born yesterday, that life has its ups and downs. Like we have our certain determination in devotional service, we have enthusiasm in devotional service, and it comes sometimes and it peaks and it waves and there's different degrees of enthusiastic participation in the process. But here's our hint. When in our life there's a feeling of lack or feeling of emptiness or feeling of dissatisfaction, go to the Bhagavatam. Glorify the Lord. Read more. Hear more. Repeat what you read. And that right there, that's the source. That's the source of our spiritual strength. Okay. Hearing about the Bhagavatam, hearing about the glories of Krishna is a great source of spiritual inspiration. Speaking about them to others is also great. And it doesn't mean in an official circumstance either, setting all the time. Just talk about Krishna instead about whatever. Okay. Where are we? Up to the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter, second canto, continuing on. In the second canto, the absolute truth as the personality of Godhead is further emphasized. And the indication is the Supreme Lord Krishna. The summary of Srimad Bhagavatam in four verses, the Chaturshloki, which is why we're talking about these 10 topics, because that was in chapter 9, the previous chapter. The Chaturshloki of the Bhagavatam, of the four seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, are bringing us to this highest point. As we have already discussed, is succinct. This Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate issue. This Supreme Personality of Godhead in the ultimate issue is confirmed by Brahma in his Brahma Samhita as Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Govinda Sarvakaranam. That Supreme Lord, and therefore I worship Govinda, that Supreme Lord, that Supreme, the Parama, Ishvara, the Parama, the Supreme Controller is Krishna, who has an eternal, blissful body. So it is concluded in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. So, continuing on, the complete subject matter is elaborately explained in the 10th and 11th cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the matter of the changes of the manus or manvantaras, such as Swayambhuva manvantara and the Chakshusha manvantara, because this is also one of the topics of the Bhagavatam, manvantara or Isha Anupitar. They are discussed in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna is indicated. In the eighth canto, the Vaivasvata Manvantara explains the same subject indirectly. And in the ninth canto, the same purport is there. In the 12th canto, the same is further explained specifically regarding the different incarnations of the Lord. Thus, it is concluded by studying the complete Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Sri Krishna is the ultimate summum bonum, or the ultimate source of all energy. and according to the grades of worshipers, the indications of the nomenclature may be differently explained as Narayan, Brahma, Paramatma, etc. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So here is, when I read this purport, I thought, it's so wonderful how Srila Prabhupada has such a complete understanding of the whole Bhagavatam and the specific verses in the Bhagavatam. Just like he's quoting from all of these different cantos to confirm different points about Krishna's supremacy, and then he's also quoting about the manvantaras are mentioned in this canto and that canto and this canto and that. I'm like straining my brain to think, oh, what was that in the fourth canto that's confirming that Krishna's this? And it's just like so amazing that we get to hear from personality, such a great personality that has the whole thing completely down. Okay, so in regard to this, the topical nature of Srimad Bhagavatam, I've been listening also to Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj give classes on the topical discussions of Srimad Bhagavatam, not just the circumstances, but what the topics are. So he's also confirming, and he's quoting a lot from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentaries, how he, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is saying that there's only, again, he's saying there's only one topic in the Bhagavatam. But because we're not on the level to absorb information about Krishna on a high level, we have to start on different levels, the levels that we're at. And he also explains that. That's why the process of creation is mentioned so many times in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's mentioned over and over again. In fact, he even quoted that. It's mentioned 2 times in the second canto, 3 times in the third canto, and 2 times again in the 11th canto, that process of creation. So why is that so important? It's important for us to get a, even if it's just a theoretical conception, but to get a grasp of the process of creation. Because just understanding philosophically that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's beyond our present capacity to understand it through our sense perception. But through the process of creation, when we hear that how the elements are created and this and that, and how Brahma is designated as the engineer to take those ingredients and develop it in a certain way, it gives us a readily identifiable example on how to fix our mind on the Lord through the process of creation. And that's why, even though it gets a little technical, the different ways that it's described, it gets technical, but it's a means for the living entity in the conditioned state with material body and senses and mind to relate to the cosmos and relate the cosmos to the Lord. Kind of like connection. Kind of like how Parikshit Maharaj in chapter 87 of the 10th canto, which is Prayers by the Personified Vedas, Parikshit Maharaj, he asks Sukadeva Goswami at that point, he says, how can the living entity who has a material body and material senses and etc., etc., vibrate transcendental sound? How is it possible that we're vibrating transcendental sound if our tongue is material, our ears are material, our eyes, and we have a material concept of life? How is it that we can vibrate transcendental sound? So there in that, in the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada immediately goes, so Parikshit asks his question, Srila Prabhupada explains his question, and he immediately goes from that statement to, and this is why, what he's really asking, what Parikshit is really asking there is God a person? Or is the highest level of understanding of God personal or impersonal? Huh? He's asked, personal or impersonal? Parikit is asking, is the ultimate level of God realization personal or impersonal? Through that question, thank you for that answer. Through that question of how is it that a material mind and senses can vibrate transcendental sound? It's a little difficult to make the connection between the questions and Prabhupada's explanation. He goes along very elaborately explaining that the gist of it is that ultimately God's a person, and the proof is because he can empower that vibration, which appears to be a material vibration from our material tongue. He can empower that vibration with his potency, and by that empowering vibration, by his empowerment, one can actually think of and ultimately conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has nothing to do with material vibration, material sound, material anything. Earth, water, fire, air. He has nothing to do with it except the fact that he's the source of it. Haha, minor detail. But anyway, so it's very interesting. So similarly, this Bhagavatam vibration, even just the vibration of the verses and Srila Prabhupada's purport, it's empowered by Sri Krishna to enable the living entity. Ultimately, because Krishna is the supreme ashraya, the supreme source of everything, he is concerned, lovingly concerned for all his parts and parcels who have drowned themselves in an ocean of forgetfulness, practically, in an ocean of darkness, to come to the light of transcendental realization through that empowerment of... That's the via medium that we can practice bhakti yoga. It's amazing. Anyway, so... And even in the example of Lord Brahma, when Lord Brahma heard the transcendental vibration of the Lord, and he studied the Vedas three times. The first time he studied the Vedas, he came to a conclusion that it's karma kanda, that's, you know, fruit of activities, this and that, and yapa. Second time he came to another conclusion. Third time, then he came to the conclusion. He came to higher and higher levels of conclusions, refined his conclusion by that process of studying the Vedas, higher and higher levels, until he comes to the conclusion of Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Abhajami, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's the supreme controller. So it's a huge conclusion. It has a huge effect on our lives and in our endeavors in Krishna consciousness. And the more that we attempt to understand that, and with Krishna being the goal, the supreme goal, the more that reciprocation of rasa is there, which is another one of the conclusions of the Bhagavatam, in those Chatur Sloki verses that talks about rahasya, that talks about relationship, because that's what we're all hankering for. So, you have any discussion or comments? It's okay to ask them now. You must have something you want to say.
I'm going to relate this to the class that we had yesterday.
Yes.
Good. So, yesterday I had asked, you know, there's Nitya Mukta, I think it is, and Nitya Bata, mm-hmm. and...
Eternally liberated and eternally conditioned.
And the question was, do we become Nitya Mukta at some point? And then I guess I have made the statement. The Mataji said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, it doesn't make sense that you obtain the highest and would ever want to look down again. It just is
illogical. And what would ever, what? Just say the last part again.
And it doesn't make sense that you would obtain, which part in particular, excuse me?
Look down again.
That you would look down again, right? Like if you obtain the highest of the high, why would you ever look down? And this verse, in a sense, is it further reinforcing this in some way, shape, or form? Like Krishna is without a doubt the topmost of everything. So once you're there, you know, is there any reason to want
I'm
to
not,
leave?
I'm just, what I'm not clear about is what are you referring to mean looking down again? Coming down?
Yeah.
Coming down from the, okay. Yeah. Just to clarify.
Yeah.
Okay. Why would you? There's a couple of reasons. One is you might be asked to come down. You know what I mean? And that happens, that's what parampara means, that sometimes different personalities have been asked, designated, whatever, to come and help bring others back up. So that's in one sense, you know, technically speaking, coming down. But it's not coming down. They physically enter, but they stay in the same level of consciousness. And another, and this is the eternal question that comes up often in different various shapes and forms. How did we actually even get here if we're all eternally part and parcel of Krishna? How did we fall from the spiritual sky? Which if you ever ask that question, or perhaps you've asked that question in different ways and you notice that people like to avoid that discussion, because, except for Sita De Muni, because he has the answer. But it's one of those things. So, but Prabhupada explains it. So, at least if I'm understanding the basic points of your question, that the living entity is eternally endowed with free will. And that, although it seems simple to understand, that's amazing, because Krishna, he's the source of everything, he's creating everything. We could say, and people often do say, well, why didn't he make me so that I would never fall down and never forget him? And Srila Prabhupada would answer, and it makes total sense, because that's not love. That's force. Love is voluntary. Love is voluntary. So Krishna, and this is one of the six characteristics of the Supreme Lord, of his opulences, wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. He's got all of everything, and he's renounced, in the sense that, in my terms, he probably wouldn't use it, he probably wouldn't say it this way, he doesn't care. He does care, but he's neutral. Okay, that's a better way of saying it. Better, right? Okay, sorry. He's neutral. He creates all the living entities. He creates everything. He makes everything perfect arrangement, and he's neutral. Accept it if you like, and if you want to try to experiment with something else, well, here, okay, I'll make this little playground, and you see if you can be happy in the playground. But after having played here for a few quadrillion, hundred million, maha million births, we kind of get to the point of seeing, well, yeah, it's not the best place here, is it? Everything I always do is frustrated. Even I get a little bit of happiness, it's just a teeny bit, and it's ultimately taken away from me. So, you want to say some more? Am I hitting your point, did I totally miss your point?
No, that was excellent. It was exactly what I was looking for. Not only that, I guess I would like to add, after understanding what you just said conceptually, right, which is what I had heard, and again, I mentioned to Mataji yesterday that I brought it up because I had a discussion with a few devotees, and it got a little bit more heated than it probably should have.
Yeah, and that's why we avoid it publicly. Usually, yeah, I mean, just saying.
Right, and
not
it was
avoided,
in private amongst friends.
We wiggle around it.
And I just was looking for confirmation that was correct. Now, I would like to add, after understanding that conceptually, it makes perfect sense, right? It's not, in my opinion, so difficult to comprehend that
right.
point. Why, after understanding that conceptually, is it still so difficult to, like, because it makes perfect sense, it does.
Yes.
Why is it still so difficult to keep moving forward and stay steady on that path, knowing that that is what, it's there, it's waiting for you, why, is it Maya, what is it?
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. It's because we weren't born yesterday. It's because you weren't, this isn't your first birth. Sorry to let you know that. But I mean, not you, but me too. You know, it's not that we've had a few births in the material world. That's what Nitya Badha means. So long we've been under a misconception that I am the body, whichever body it is that I'm in, that it's just whatever, it just seems that's my go-to consciousness, I'm the body. So it's just like, how many times have we heard and we believe we're not the body? I mean, we've seen it. But do I act on that? Yeah, I do, theoretically. But I also like whipped cream for dessert because I like it. You know what I mean? I theoretically understand it in a certain level. But I, you know, so many things. So it's because our conditioning, and that's the whole point of Chaito Darpa. It just, when you start to put it together, all the little pieces come together in different ways. Okay, so Chaito Darpana Marjana means the heart is pure. We are. We're already pure devotees. It doesn't come. Pure devotional service doesn't come from an outside source. Oh, if we get, you know, order it on Amazon. Ha ha, and it rang, it came in, got 40 pounds of pure devotional service. Anyway, it doesn't come from an outside. It's already in the heart, but we've covered it over so many times by false conceptions. And then, because of those false conceptions, we've acted in a certain way. And what's happened? We've accrued karmic reaction, which often doesn't happen right away, but waits and then socks you in the head later on when you're least expecting it. And because of all that karma there, it's something that has to be cleansed. And so the process is, you know, Nityam Bhagavata Seva, eternally or regularly, you know, hearing, chanting, remembering, taking prasadam, trying. And also, because the Supreme Lord is a person, it's not a question of how rigidly you follow the rules and regulations to a T, although it's very good, etc. But it's not a question of that, it's a question of the endeavor. That endeavor, that desire within the heart, Krishna will save you and all of us by endeavor. And then the example of the Brahmin, the South Indian Brahmin who is reading the Bhagavad Gita upside down. Lord Chaitanya said, you really understand the real import of Bhagavad Gita. Because why? You're thinking of your relationship with Krishna and Krishna's relationship with the devotees and how he's so kind. So then there's Putana. Putana came to kill Krishna. Did he kill her? Yes. But did he kill her? No, he elevated her. Why? Because there's a relationship there. Because it was the intention. So, being the burnt remnants of Kali Yuga, you know, being the burnt remnants of Kali Yuga, we're highly unqualified to execute Bhakti Yoga. But still we can do it because by Srila Prabhupada's potency, we can make our attempt, we can do it. And then think of how Srila Prabhupada's coming from such a cultured background, and he comes over to the West, and he sees us, you know, who lick our feet and then put our hands in our mouth and then wipe it on our head and then, you know, do all sorts of weird things, you know, and we think that it's normal. Hold on, I was going to give a bad example and I'm not going to do it. Thank you, Krishna. Okay, we think it's normal. And he's taking that type of personality with that type of or background and giving them the highest knowledge. Woo. And so we do make a mess of things a lot, you know, but still, but what did Prabhupada see? He would fan that spark of an intention, desire to please the Lord. Anyway, those are a few random thoughts. Haha. Thank you. Hare
Krishna. Thank you so much, Mathura.
Yeah. Other comments or questions? Yeah, Mathura. Go ahead, and then we'll pass it back. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Hanuman ripped open his chest.
Yes.
And there was not only Ram, but there was Sita there. There's Sita Ram. So, and it's amazing that bhakti philosophy is it's so specific. We have to be. So my question is, where it's told we should be meditating on Krishna in our hearts. And then Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita, says on Krishna's lotus feet we should be meditating. So should we also be meditating on Radharani? Because Radharani is always with Krishna. So we be meditating on Radha Krishna in our heart and or Radha Krishna's feet. It's something I can...
Yeah. How's that for the short answer? The short answer, yes. And the long answer is start. Just start somewhere, meditating on Krishna's lotus feet. And all, everything will be revealed gradually. You know, Srimati Radharani and those higher and higher and higher levels. I mean, it's, yeah. Anyone else want to comment on that particular Divyanga? You have anything you'd like to add to that?
I agree with you, yes.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
I just listened to this yesterday. Prabhupada was having a conversation with the man, and the man said, I don't understand if there's a spiritual world as you've described, so wonderful and so fulfilling. How is it that I forgot it? He said, I can remember a nice meal I had 2 months ago. And Prabhupada just gave the simplest answer. He said, because we're very small. Mm. And because of our size, we forget. And even though the tendency is, because we have the independence, we can do whatever we want. Prabhupada said that if you go back to Godhead, you don't want to come back here again. So that's the idea.
Yeah, thanks.
And all you can do is practice toward that with, you know, the faith that there is a spiritual world. And then you can go toward that and make progress.
And also, just to add to that, while you pass the mic to Stephen D. Mooney, add to that, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, that Krishna will help. We make our endeavor, but it's not just our endeavor. Krishna will help. Stita D.
Yeah, yeah. People want to be in the spiritual world who are there.
Yes.
You know, they're not like, on the weekends, I'll go to the beach. I was just at the beach. I lost it. That wasn't even...
That's all right, I'll come back.
But I did have a joke.
Really? That's
yeah.
A surprise.
Okay, so you were saying how you can't order pure devotional service from Amazon, you know, from the internet, right?
Right.
So what's the position of people who listen to the class on the internet? Are they niche sitters or niche bottas?
I'll let you answer that question.
I don't know.
Okay. Okay, can you pass the mic in the back there for the... Thanks. There's your answer. Coming in. Someone's going to tell it.
Amazon calling.
Okay.
I have a question. There's, we always say we fell down from the spiritual world. This is a very common thing that devotees have a tendency to say. But at the same time, I was reading that Krishna expands himself. And he just, you know, when he expands himself, it's just like, a little while ago, last week I think it was explained that we're like sun rays, little particles of Krishna's energy. So when Krishna expands himself, also expands in the material world.
Yeah.
So is it that we fell down from the spiritual world, or is it that we are in that expansion of Krishna and we automatically ended up in a material world?
Well, okay. I'm not sure I'm going to answer your question exactly, but what I want to say is, this is the spiritual world. There's nothing material in the Lord's creation. It's all spiritual. It's our consciousness that's material. And therefore, we're in this realm. Just like, is it Brahma Samhita? Is it, where is it that it's explained that this is a cloud section in the spiritual world, which comprises the material elements and everything. It's there's nothing separate from Krishna. I think I missed your point, but anyway, how do you know?
So we don't exactly fall down. It's just we're just like
it's a question of consciousness. It's not a question. I mean, it's That's a fine note.
It's a, I've been pondering this. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, I understand that that it's all Krishna's energy. But my question is it an, are we like, you know, when Krishna expands himself, are we like the sun rays that are expanded, or is it that we were in a spiritual world and we fell down and now we're trying to get back?
There was something.
It's a hard one. I've been pondering it for a while.
Well, this is the thing about this question, that it goes on, and different people with different levels of understanding can explain things in different ways, and I'm not that person. You know what I mean? I don't have that clear of an understanding of this or that. But I'm just happy to know that I can try to make my endeavor and go back there, you know, by changing my consciousness, which is not a very easy thing to do. You know, I mean, it's something that takes quite a bit of endeavor. But it's a great question that you can ask as many other people as you want, okay? And I encourage you to do that. Hare Krishna. Well,
there you go. Oh, but, you know, there's all these just basic points that we're eternal, and there are some things that we cannot understand in our present state, and how we came to the material world is one of them. And they used to ask Prabhupada this a lot, and he would usually just say that you can't really understand it.
Yeah,
but it's just like if you have an arrow stuck in your chest, you don't think, oh my God, where did it come from? You know, what angle was it shot from? All this stuff, but you just pull it out, and after you're healed, then you can maybe find out.
I've never heard that example about the arrow in the chest.
Oh, I've
usually
heard it.
I hear
in the
about
ocean?
If you're in the ocean, they throw you a life raft.
That's another one.
Okay, but anyway, thanks. But the point, obviously, is the same.
Yeah, the point is that.
Yeah, here the rope has come. Let's grab the rope and get out. But it's also, if you don't, would you like to say more before I start to talk?
Well, just another point about how, and I heard this in Bhagavatam class one time, about, you know, if you go there, you never fall down again, but you still have free will. But it was just like when you're a baby, you know, you may soil your diapers. But when you're an adult, you could still do it, but you don't because, you know, you're a little more intelligent. So it's in the same way. You're not going to want to come back to the material world.
Uh-oh, Steve D.
Well, I mean,
yes,
as far as Prabhupada's handling the topic, he did seem to emphasize back to Godhead. And if you're going back someplace...
You've been there.
You've been there. So that's how he framed it. For whatever reason, he did... He did name the magazine Back to Godhead when he was in India, in New Delhi, and there weren't too many goofy New Yorkers there that he was worrying about. So it seemed like he was thinking an Indian audience and all their purity and wondrous qualities, that would be a good thing to tell them. And at the same time, like you said, he didn't get into these crazy conversations with people, like head bashing, you know, and gnashing their teeth over it. I mean, if it started to flow to that direction, you just say... Just pull the arrow out and get your act together. You know, maybe I guess you said that. But, you know, just says, you know, worry about getting it together. You know, somehow you're here. That's, we're not going to argue about how you're going to get it together.
Yeah. Basic, bring it back into perspective. Yeah. So bringing it back into perspective then, we'll end it on the note that here we are in the material world, Krishna's, and we're so fortunate to have come in contact with this information. We have the process, the means to get out, and let's take advantage of it. Hare Krishna. And Krishna is the someone born. And did you want to say something even after that? Spiritual world.
Prabhupada said all my temples are Vaikuntha, so actually...
So you're
Vaikuntha. Vrindavan. Our Vrindavan.
Yes.
So actually, we're in Vrindavan.
Very good.
If by... According to the consciousness, right?
According to our consciousness.
Thanks.
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Always talking about Krishna Ki Jai. Continue over your prasadam. Vanchakalpa Chudya.